You let one ant stand up to us, then they all might stand up. Those puny little ants outnumber us 100 to 1. And if they ever figure that out, there goes our way of life. It's not about food. It's about keeping those ants in line. That's why we're going back.
Does anybody else want to stay?
Let's ride!
They're going to play this evening.
Ladies and gentlemen.
It's Friday, just let it play out.
Ladies and gentlemen. Your attention, please.
And now the moment we've been waiting for is here.
Oh. Feels good, man. It was a good week, another good week. I don't know where the weeks go. Do you know where the weeks go?
I have something to tell you.
I don't know where the weeks go. Like I always say, go to sleep on a Sunday night, wake up and it's Thursday. It's fine if I just remembered what the hell happened the other days. But it just goes by so fast. And here we are on Friday night. It's going to be good. We're acknowledging Anthony's birthday here tonight, too. So after the show, we're going to be chilling out, playing video games and ordering pizzas. And people are stopping in and out. It should be fun. I already got one of the hookahs packed. It's been a long time since I packed a hookah. I pack them well. This is not going to hit as hard as the other ones do because I'm using the apple on top. This thing. I didn't use the clay bowl and the tin foil as they usually do. So this is just easier. Matt's cooking up some more stuff over there. He's cooking up some more coals for this thing, so we'll keep it burning. What are we going to talk about tonight? Fun stuff. It's Friday. We were very, very heavy on things on Monday through Thursday. But it is also like Christmas Eve, okay? Eve. If Sunday is Christmas Eve, Saturday is Christmas Eve. Three Eves. Monday is the first debate between Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton. And let me tell you something. First of all, we have Red Blooded America is going to be coming on with us. First time our good buddy Boat is going to be with us. He's a contributor and a writer behind the scenes, as well as Gadget Doc and Based Heisenberg, a few others that just swimming with information. And if you've subscribe to RBA's Tumblr and read his writing and his rebuttals and his historical context he puts things in. I mean, it's fantastic. It really is. It's thorough work and is one of the first things I noticed when I started really using Tumblr a lot. So I'm happy to finally have him on with us tonight. I want to talk about the debates with him and Matt. So I'm not going to say anything until about 7:15, 7:20. That's when we'll drop in on him and we'll ruin his life for a little bit. Other than that, we're getting closer to October, and this is going to get so much more apropos, this song. I put a spell on you. And that's what we do. We just roll with the punches here. Now, what's a couple of things I want to do before we get RBA on? What do we want to do? Two things. Now, everybody knows that we are getting ready to make the switch from Ustream to YouTube. We're thinking about it, at least. But more and more I look into what's going on at YouTube, I'm scared. I really am. Now, people, I was even saying a couple days ago, you know what, this is where the wind's blowing, we got to go where the crowds are, we just got to do it. But I'm starting to ask myself now, you know, how much do we really have to give up to go over there? And how far would we even last on YouTube if we are streaming? Because not only did we see recently what was going on with all of the demonetization efforts that were going on with YouTube, obviously Google and YouTube, and they're all in the same in the same camp, and the censoring and all that stuff, it's all in the same camp. But this is the newest thing that's coming out right now that makes me feel very weird. YouTube's new Heroes program gives volunteer moderators serious perks. Now, let's go. I'm going to do this article second. Okay? Let's go to the first one. YouTube's Heroes. This is from Engadget.com. Now, Engadget is obviously all for this. But you just listen to this for a little bit, and you tell me if you're for it or against it, or if you can see how this can turn out disastrously bad, as all things that get regulated by a governing body usually do. Especially when the things that you're regulating is speech, because then it's completely arbitrary. If you've ever ventured into YouTube's comments, you know how nasty things can get. And that's the other thing. That's the line I've been seeing in all the articles that were supporting this. And shout out to Mike May for telling me even about this, because I didn't even know. If you ever ventured into YouTube's comments, you know how nasty things can get. To help it purge all the bad juju the section brings, the video sharing website is enlisting the help of volunteers called Heroes. It's an expanded version of the Trusted Flaggers program and gives users who want to help out not just the power to flag inappropriate comments and videos, but also add captions and subtitles. Members also get a separate dashboard where they can track their contributions, see if the captions they submitted have been approved, and if the content they flagged had been removed. While YouTube will still get the last say on what to remove from the website, oh yeah, I'm sure this is really going to be tough deliberating. Look what's happening to Twitter. While they get the last say of what to remove from the website, again, Heroes can only flag and report them just to make you feel safe at home. Don't worry, they don't have carte blanche, they can't just take it all off. A lot of people still aren't happy that the Google-owned entity is putting unpaid volunteers in charge. I wouldn't want paid volunteers in charge. What's worse? The fuck is worse? Really, what is worse? Make the case.
Volunteers? The volunteers are worse because they actually want to volunteer to stifle people?
Yeah, and the other people, they get paid to stifle people. So, I mean, I can't even take arguments over what's worse. I mean, I think they're equally repugnant and ill-advised, but we know where the wind blows. We know where the people are, but where's the mindset? That's the real question.
They're just scrambling. All these people in this mine, they're just scrambling for whatever the hell they can do to stop something from happening that they don't want to happen.
You might have to start at the very bottom and work your way up to get access to training materials to gain the ability to flag. Imagine this. You have to start from the bottom and work your way up the despicable ladder to earn special powers like being able to flag multiple videos at the same time.
What a fucking loser.
Which, what does that mean? In one sitting? Within 5 minutes? What the fuck does that mean?
Do they get... I wonder how... Oh, they're volunteers, so they don't get a... For each report or whatever, they make like a commission or something. I guess they just feel good about themselves shutting people up.
Yeah. YouTube's new Heroes program. This is from thenextweb.com. YouTube's new Heroes program gives volunteer moderators serious perks. I got this article because it talks specifically about the perks they get. Listen to this. Basically, it's a community volunteer program. The program is divided into various levels, and you gain points for flagging content, adding captions, or sharing knowledge. At level two, you can join in on exclusive workshops.
Wow, what's that even mean?
I gotta go. I gotta be home. I gotta be home by 8. I'm part of an exclusive workshop. My YouTube censorship program. And to participate. And participate in video chats with other heroes. I love how these powerless busybody motor mouth nitwits are calling themselves heroes to take away the sting from the loserdom that they actually exist in. At level 3, you can mass flag videos and delete user comments like a champ.
Like a champ.
Yeah.
These people are dead.
So these are the people. These are the people that will take off anybody that criticizes Hillary Clinton, but they will leave up comments of people when they see, you know, footage of rioting and destruction or cops being killed or something like that, and they'll leave up the comments when people say, "Well, can you really blame them?" They'll leave those. This is the type of this is where feelings come in, where a certain hive mind mentality comes in. You know. This is what's going to happen. This is what's going to happen. So, and here's the other thing. This is a subtle way. Now, obviously, YouTube is a private organization. Yes, it has massive CIA ties, but it is a private organization, and you can say, well, it can monitor what it wants all the time. Well, fine. But when you control something that is that vast as far as the viewership goes, remember how we were talking about how public perception is being subtly influenced through the comments, through the like to dislike ratios that are manipulated by programs, by third party software, all that stuff as a means of gaining a little bit more favorability toward a certain idea. If a referendum's coming up, or if a certain politician is going to get elected or running for office, whatever the hell it is, this is a subtle way and a little bit more of a deflective way of doing that same thing, because you know what is going to be, who's going to be accepted into this program. You know exactly where it's going to go. Do I have any proof of it? No. Who really is going to have a lot of proof? I don't even know how you monitor something like that. How do you monitor what comments have been removed en masse? How do you monitor any of these trends? It's going to be impossible for anybody to pin anything onto some kind of a narrative agenda or something like that. So, just saying, I know that I wanted to be switched over to YouTube by tonight. We still have a couple of things to do. When Tim Pool joins the network and he starts doing his podcast from these studios next week, he's going to be going live from his YouTube channel. So we're going to be able to log into whatever channel wants to be casted out to. We have the technology for it. But as far as a mainstay for this network in particular, I don't know, man. I don't know. Let's see what's going on in the chat room. Got Gadget Doc, Nikki, Chem Quiz, Jenny Lee, Perry, Murr, Red Blooded America's here. A couple other people who are watching but not in the chat. Flag stuff that hurts your feelings, Nikki says. Feels Brigade. That's what Jenny Lee says, the Feels Brigade. Jenny, you hit it right on the nose. They shouldn't be called heroes. They should be called the Feels Brigade. YouTube's Feels Brigade. And here's another thing. Now, Rumble and Roar had sent me something. Rumble and Roar for the chat room. That is her blog on Tumblr as well. She had sent me something I was watching before that I seriously just couldn't watch anymore. And I didn't want to bring up on the show because it's 35 minutes long and it's painful. She had sent me a picture of this, and it's 7:14 right now. We'll call Red Blooded America in 6 minutes at 7:20. Now, Rumble and Roar had sent over a video of this. I don't know what the hell was going on. It was at a college, in a college dormitory. You know what? Let me just show you the setting so I don't have to paint the picture that much. We can save some time. Oh, hold on. All right, let me get into my messages. Moonlit Matt sends a lot of stuff too. You guys send stuff up to me in our thing here. Shit. In the inbox on Tumblr, because I get that, I check that a lot. And you guys always come up with great shit. Always come up with good stuff. Now it's not letting me do this. Fantastic. Oh, well, you know where I can watch it? It's in my YouTube history. Wait until you see this. Please be there. Please be there. No. Oh, here it is. Insane video. SJW shooting down YAF meeting at Kansas University. Now, I think they're having a talk about safe spaces and whether or not it's a good or a bad thing. I just want you to listen to some of the ways that these kids are conducting themselves, and they are kids in every sense of the word. Children, mental midgets.
And for people like you, if you ever need a safe space.
So right off the bat, they're berating this poor kid over here. Who's saying that it's not inclusive, it actually hurts, not helps. Chubby chick over here, she is like almost on autopilot. She steamrolls over everything people say. Let's see, she's probably going on a tirade. Hold on.
How do you think we can have a group that is pushing the agenda? You don't even deserve to be here and feel safe. Are we supposed to get to a finish line?
So you can't really hear this waste of life, but she kept on going on about how we need safe spaces because freedom of speech is really just laden with freedoms to spread hate. And of course, when you say what hate speech is, you want to talk about arbitrary? They talk about things like you misspell or you mispronounce somebody's name. It's a microaggression, it's ridiculous, absolutely ridiculous. Now when I watch this stuff, I know we look at it, we shake our heads, we say whatever, but here's the real thing that comes to my mind when I see people engaging this type of talk, especially in college, because that's where all these people who are, they believe that they're these intellectual titans, and they just keep speaking. Somebody says something which made some sense, they nitpick something if they mispronounce something, or if they go and they take one little thing and they blow it up to go on a tirade and laugh it off as if it's ridiculous, reducto ad absurdum. They make everything into straw man arguments, and they roll over you because they actually don't have any kind of leg and footing to stand on when it comes to getting into a debate and talking to people like people. You know, they are the fascists that they say that they're fighting against. Mike, can you bring me those two coals? I got to add them to this. If you can just plop them onto the top, that'd be awesome. But the thing that gets me, I'm going to call Red-Blooded America in about 1.5 minutes. The thing that really gets me is I know why colleges are putting up with this stuff and encouraging it, because if this is a thing that they think that kids are looking for, and they're going to create this space for kids to do this stuff, they have no real stake in putting it down or talking sense into kids or actually returning to a state of reasonable education, because they get money either way. You know, these kids are going to school mostly on loans and government dime and all that stuff, and it's really not, it's not contributing toward anything. And on a college campus, what does it really matter if they're talking nonsense? Because that's a place where it could thrive, and colleges really make something off of it. Okay? They make out. But once these kids get off campus and they have to actually go find a job into the real world, and reality slaps them in the face, where the real world requires a body of work, something of value, responsibility, something to show for your work, merit, anything like that, oh my God, they're going to fall flat on their face. That's when I see this stuff, I as much as it makes me cringe and it infuriates me, there's a sense of pity. There's a sense of, I am infuriated by it, but I'm more so pitiful. It's a pitiful sight. I pity these kids. It's going to take a long time to break out of it. And if they don't break out of it, they're going to turn into some of the people who are running through the streets right now, burning things down. White, black, brown, yellow, purple, doesn't matter what color they are. People react in animalistic ways when they're kept ignorant, in the dark, confused, and completely upset. An educated person, a well-rounded, educated intellectual is not going to engage in anything like this. They're not going to get into any of this craziness because, you know, they're not confused. That's why we throw temper tantrums at kids. We're confused at the time. Let's call redded, blooded, Americated. And joining us right now, Mr. Boat himself, red-blooded America. How you doing, my friend?
Well, salutations. How you doing there, Frank?
I'm doing fantastic. It's good to have you on, man. This has been a long time coming. I've been asking you for a while.
That's what I was about to say. It's been quite a while that you've been asking me to come on, and I decided to, what the hell, I'll just try it one time here and see if I ruined your whole damn show one fell swoop here. So we'll see what happens.
There's nothing you can do to the show that I haven't already done to it. It's either ruined or that's it, man. It's tempered steel. But, you know, here's the thing. I was talking about this with Matt before we got on the air tonight, and I had to save it until you were on. But on Monday night, we had this debate now between Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump. I made the prediction that it will dwarf Super Bowl 17 viewership ratings. I really do believe so. I believe that whatever game is on Monday night this Monday is just screwed. Nobody's going to be watching this.
Yeah, it's pretty lofty proposal there. I'm not sure if I'd really take that bet or not, but I'll tell you what, NFL has gone down with all this Kaepernick nonsense, so hey, you never know. But the Super Bowl is pretty much the king of the primetime event. So, I'm going to tune into this. So I know there's Monday Night Football going on, and that's a big deal. But
What's the game on Monday, Matt? You know? Boat, you know what game is on Monday?
I do not.
I haven't checked it out. But I don't know. What do you expect out of this? We have what? At least an hour and a half of talk. We're going to have two very jaded characters. This is obviously and already one of the worst election cycle that we've ever had to endure. It's actually one of the worst stretches of time in American politics since its founding. And with everything going on, everything bleeding up to it, whether or not she's going to be able to stand on her feet for too long, whether or not her eyes are going to go crossed, whether or not Trump is going to do something to throw away all of the momentum he has actually built up, or is he really going to bury her? What do you think? What have you been fantasizing about, should I ask?
Well, first of all, I want to know what the high and low is on the actual, whether or not that Hillary will turn up late from another bathroom break on this debate or not. But ultimately, the interesting part will be how Donald Trump handles this. I think we all know what Hillary's going to do. She's going to go straight forward. She's going to hit the high note that she usually does. But Donald Trump is just an enigma. I think that's part of his unique qualities, that he can actually go out there and say anything sometimes and surprise everybody. I think, though, with Bannon and Roger Ailes on his side now, I think he's going to play it a little safe, at least going in. Now, when Hillary, once she throws the gloves off, I think it's going to go down like just a knockout punch kind of match. And I think Donald Trump, it is his best quality, is he will attack her straightforward, and he'll pull no punches, in other words.
And what did Abraham Lincoln that said that no man has a good enough memory to be a successful liar?
That sounds like Abraham Lincoln.
Now, I know that Snopes and other places have rated Donald Trump, when you take the breadth of everything that he has said in this election, this never-ending election, so I can't stand it. You know, that's the other thing. I really do believe that we should keep elections and the campaigning to 6 months. The primaries, everything, within 6 months leading up to the election day. This is torturous. It's absolutely unnecessary. Snopes and everybody else who tracks this, PolitiFact, people go to Hillary Clinton's rescue. Well, but whereas nobody can really, if they want to keep any integrity, go to rescue Hillary Clinton for the validity of the things that she says and all that stuff.
Are you worried about like a Candy Crowley moment? Is that what you're trying to say here?
Oh, something.
No fact checking on the fly, in other words.
Pretty much. But what I'm the other thing is that Donald Trump, it has been said that up to 71% of the things that he says is flawed or stretched truth or outright false or anything like that. Now, I think that even despite that, it's not going to hurt him at all. Like you said before, he's got this, he's got the common tongue down so well. And if I can really tie in anything from last night's episode with Maj Touré on, is that he'd like to really zone in on the disconnect between politicians and the everyday person. Not just the everyday person, but also minority populations and all that stuff. I really think that the slow, antiquated, rehearsed, yelling, ornery, shrill harridan that Hillary Clinton is when she goes on her long, boisterous rants is just so it's just so gross compared to, I don't know, a breath of fresh air from Donald Trump. You think that is just what's going to carry him through safely to shore?
Oh, yeah. I think it's definitely, she's got that shrill to her, but she also has that condescending, holier-than-thou attitude that you also see where she kind of snubs her nose at us. You've all seen the testimony she gave to Congress where she just sort of sits there on her elbow, sort of just looking bored, like she's better than all this. She has no time for it. I don't think Donald Trump's going to let her sit there and just do that. I think he's going to walk all over. He's going to pull all these these different ad hominems, which he's really good at. So I think that's something that we're excited about seeing, at least.
You know what it is? You know what it is? We saw what he did to 16 other Republicans. Okay, we saw that, number one. Number two, and especially since you're on the screen right now, and I'm thinking about Parks and Recreations, I'm thinking about the debate that Leslie Knope had with Paul Rudd, and how she's kind of getting beat up a little bit. Now she comes out on top in the end. I do not think that Hillary Clinton has a Leslie Knope moment in her at all. I think that if he actually gets to her, which he's going to. Which he's going to, because he's going to be so much more calm than her. I really do think that if she gets that Leslie Knope moment where she thinks she has to hit back, it's not going to work well.
No, it's not. If anything, you know what, that kind of actually reminds me. I think Paul Rudd was more of the Justin Trudeau in that episode, to me at least. He's sort of clueless, lost, and then, yeah, I mean, Leslie Knope is definitely a knockoff of Hillary Clinton, if anything. But I think even, at least Leslie Knope has some personality. Hillary has nothing. She's not perky. She's not peppy. She's just boring, you know? So, anyway.
Yeah, so that's one thing. You know what? Let's step away from the debate for a little bit, because obviously Monday night, we'll announce what our broadcast schedule over here is going to be like with Monday night. Hangover Takeover goes live at 9. I'm going to see if Gypsy goes live at 9 that night. If not, when is the debate kick off Eastern time? You know, Boat?
I believe it was 8 o'clock.
Okay, so then we do a quite frankly, from 7 to 8. And then maybe we do extended debate coverage over here from 8 o'clock until it ends. And we will just let it roll. I mean, I won't even record anything. We'll just watch it together. And we'll just laugh together, cry together, all that shit. Maybe we'll do that. I got to find that.
I'll definitely be on Twitter either way. So I usually live tweet all these debates. It's quite humorous to do it on there. So
yeah, I think I'll do that with you as well. But I think that's what we'll do. Gypsy will be here shortly, so I'll ask him about that. Moving on, this is one thing that we left off with last night on the show. It is a 12-second clip. A 12-second clip that I've already... No, I did not delete it. Hold on. I think it was under... I put it in my economy folder. Let me see where the hell it is. Okay. Here's a clip from last week of Bernie Sanders. He went on, he's on the campaign trail for Hillary Clinton now. Obviously, he bent the knee, and this is what he did in 12 seconds. Listen to this.
That real unemployment in this country is a lot higher than the official unemployment, because official unemployment doesn't include those people who have given up looking for work or working part-time.
Now, what do you think about that? What do you think the Obama administration, obviously it doesn't matter to people, they're not looking for information and putting two and two together, but do you think that the Obama administration was very, very happy with that, especially since every other month we roll out a 5% unemployment rate, even though a third of the country's population is out of the workforce? What do you think that does for this whole narrative that things are doing great, But at the other hand, if we're going to stick to 5% unemployment, why are we always talking about how we got to create more jobs if we're technically employed 95%?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they never like to discuss that U6 number. I think that's Bernie's flaw here is that he's a little too honest for his own good. That's why I said when we shared that video earlier this week, I thought, well, there goes Bernie. He's not going to last much longer. He has a Clinton toe tag saved up for him somewhere. But, yeah, I don't think the Obama administration really cares at this point. They pulled the wool over everybody's eyes for so long. It doesn't even matter to them. In effect, he's on his walkout. He's just trying to get everybody in there to support Hillary just because Hillary is essentially supporting her or him. Mm. So that's all he's worried about. But the actual Bernie Sanders part, he's just a wild card. You know, that was his appeal to all the progressive youths of millennials and college kids around the nation. They love him because he was honest. That is one of his federal features. Unfortunately, you know, in politics, with the Democrats, honesty is not the key point to their overall agenda. So that looks pretty bad.
Totally. No, I get you on that one. Now, shifting gears one more time. Here is, let me see, this came out yesterday. This is right off of Fox News. I snagged it as soon as I saw the alert pop up. I've got a few news sources on my tablet, and this one I just had to get because, duh, it's another one of those duh moments. Email shows federal immigration bosses in OT push to swear in new citizens, quote, due to the election. Let me read a little bit over here. An internal Obama administration email shows immigration officials may be literally working overtime to swear in as many, quote, new citizen voters as possible before the November 8th presidential election, a powerful lawmaker charged on Thursday. The email from the U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services field office chief and part of a chain of correspondence within the agency urges the unnamed recipient to swear in as many citizens as possible due to the election year. Quote, the field office, due to the election year, needs to proceed as many of the N-400 cases as possible between now and fiscal year 2016, reads the email, which was disclosed to Fox News by Senator Ron Johnson. If you have any cases in this category or other pending, you are encouraged to take advantage of the overtime if you can, the email continues. This will be an opportunity to move your pending naturalization cases. If you have not volunteered for overtime, please consider and let me know if you are interested. Is there anything else? Is there any other leg that somebody can stand on that can say that this push for naturalization, for amnesty, for open borders, for importation of foreigners, refugees, and all that, and granting them, not only moving them around the country to turn red states blue or blue states red, whatever, whoever the hell is standing to benefit or be hurt, we know who's behind all this right now. Is there anything that people can really say to prop up that old excuse that this is humanitarian, this is the right thing to do, we are investing in the future of our country? Is there anything else here, really, that they can stand on?
No, actually, there's not. But, of course, you know, it's just like Saul Alinsky says, you know, it's deny, deny, deny. They're going to just keep on rolling out with this the same agenda that they're going to push all these as many voter block as they can get. And that's just the bottom line of it. So it doesn't matter what the actual facts come out. We can leak all this, or I could say WikiLeak. Yeah, but you can actually get all this information out there and it'll hit the news cycle. It'll play a round of it. And conservatives and libertarians alike will remember it. But the masses of asses out there, they forget this stuff. You know, it just goes wired over their head because it's not on all the media. It's not played all over. So that's the Democrats have that to their advantage, and that's why it's so important that you have to get this information out past Fox News, because I don't even watch Fox News anymore.
Never. I never do.
So, yeah, so there you go. I mean, you have to get it out on the internet. You have to get it past just the conservative websites as well. You got to get past the libertarian website, Reason.com. You have to have it everywhere. It has to get out on Facebook. You know? That kind of goes back to your whole YouTube thing. I think it's still an important thing. You got to go where the culture is. And you got to make sure you pinpoint the fact, because otherwise it's going to, you know, it's going to go right over everybody's head.
Yeah,
and drive by media.
And the one other thing that this leads to is my question about you. Now you're a very successful blogger. You've behind the scenes we've spoken about some of the radio broadcasts and the podcasts you've worked with. You've been in contact with. You've consulted and advised, and a lot of people take your analysis on things and your interpretation of things very, very seriously because it's very good work. Now, for me to try to put some kind of a positive spin on this, and I always try to look for the positive because, I mean, where the hell can you find it any other place? We have to go within for it. If you have, in your experience, what kind of reception have you gotten from people who fall in the demographics, the immigrant demographics, the incoming immigrant demographics, black, Hispanic, the smaller populations of minorities throughout the country? Do you get any kind of signs of hope out of them through your writing? That actually shows, you just said right now, we have to push even past conservative media, liberal media, mainstream. It doesn't matter what it is. We have to push past all of that and just start talking about principles, standards, and being very, very objective with things so people can see that, you know, a lot of the subjects that we've been told are damaging on humanitarian or other types of social levels because they are either racist or something else. Is there a way to push past all of that, to show people that these subjects in themselves are actually a lot more sober a subject than what people are being hyped up and made to feel absolutely hysterical over? Are you finding any kind of positive headway being made with people that read your blog who might have been thinking differently before being exposed to your writing?
Well, you know, one of the better compliments that I've ever received on my blog is the people that actually come in and write and they say, you know, I may not agree with you, but I understand where you're coming from. And that's the first step. I think anytime you can connect somebody and you can actually level with them one-on-one as a person and not so much as a, you know, a partisan, which we all tend to do. I'm very guilty of this myself. I really just jump on some people, jump down their throats sometimes. But other times, you know, I just say, hey, here are the facts. You can do with them what you will, but ultimately, I'm giving you what I have as a fact, and you just have to take it the way you want to. Now, this doesn't always translate with everybody, but, you know, as long as you can have a common discussion with them. And I've had this, especially when that Black Lives Matter first happened, and I had some horrible hate mail it was last Thanksgiving, I believe, or maybe two Thanksgivings ago when the Trayvon Martin and I think it was Trayvon Martin shooting. I was just laying out the facts out there, and people would jump down my throat. They would say, oh, no, this isn't the facts. You don't know what you're talking about. I'm like, well, here's the police report. Here's the autopsy. Here's the facts. Now, you can take one what you will. And then so, you know, some people actually turned around and said, you know what? Okay, maybe I don't have all the facts. You know, maybe hands up, don't shoot wasn't a thing when that was going on. So you kind of have to just put things out there and let them just take them as the facts that they are, you know, and you're going to get some pushback and you're going to have some people throwing out some false stuff to you. And you just got to actually turn it back around and say, well, listen, here's the actual, I have the police report. I have the autopsy report. I have, you know, and that goes for anything. It goes with economics. It goes with this history, especially. I just don't know how many times I've had to rewind the history from that they've been re-educated on. Where they think they know what they're talking about. They don't know what they're talking about. They don't have the facts. They just have what they were told by their progressive teachers. And their teachers aren't to blame because their teachers learned the same thing. So you kind of have to roll back everything and say, look, this is the way that the Constitution was written. This is the way that, you know, the actual discovery of America happened. You have to tell them because all they think about is the Howard Zinn history, you know, history books. They know the Keynesian economic model. This is stuff that's pushed through the mainstream of progressivism, and you just have to actually say, stop for a second. Let's take a look at what really happened. You know, there is a spin for everything. All history is biased. Okay, we get that. But we can at least look at the actual facts of history, and then you can determine if your bias was actually legitimate or not. So
it's great points you're making, man. Great points. And, the thing that gets me is you have the one thing that I always end up having to remind myself over when I see the fringe elements of society come out and use social media and all that stuff, it's all part of that illusion. It's all part of that turning your mind and subtly changing your perception of what's going on with the greater whole around the world or in your country, your state, your town, whatever the hell it is. And whereas you have really, really fringe elements on the far left, real fringe elements on the far right. Sometimes people are so far right and far left that they actually meet each other. And, you know, the thing that gets me is it's all of those moderates in between who might have liberal leanings, who might have a little bit more center-right leanings, but they were all at one time where the narratives were controlled and where they came from at one time, especially in this country, it came from a place where there was that nucleus that was the Constitution. And then outside of that nucleus, you had people pulling this way or that way, but they were restrained and they were kept in balance, where people were able to hash out things that they want to do, ideas they have, different types of initiatives they want to go and they want to achieve, and everybody worked within the same bounds of the rules. It seems like everything is not only... It seems like the perception is that everything is just so far in either direction that we forget about all those people who, yeah, they might lean left, they might lean a little bit right, but if you talk to them, they're there and they're looking to learn and they will make on-the-fly decisions on things bit by bit. The whole point, though, is how do we break through that real thick layer of ice, that media, that 24-hour hypnotizing media schedule, that cycle that just constantly keeps reminding you of what you cannot and you should not bend on and what your opinion should be no matter what is presented to you. The most dangerous thing that I think is happening right now is we're living with a generation that is about to assume power that doesn't seem to care about the facts too much.
Oh, absolutely. And I think that all ties in, that media cycle ties into social media. You know, I've noticed that it's like they say, well, a lie goes around the world 1.5 times before the truth gets its shoes on. It's kind of the same deal. Once these media cycles pump out some kind of news, it's amazing how quickly the lie, it's usually the leftist lie, I would say, gets out there into the mainstream media and then to the social media. And the social media, I think right now, is what's grabbing people. I have people that I would assume... You know, people from high school, you see them on Facebook, you see people on Twitter, and they're like, you're like, they're not really political, but they'll throw some kind of political spin. I'll look at it and I know right off the bat, I'll say that's a progressive lie. That, you know, somebody spin that and they put it onto Occupy Democrats or one of those nonsense memes out there, and all of a sudden it's the truth. For example, let me just throw out this real quick, that Dakota Access Pipeline, that news story went out so quickly. And it was all on the narrative of the protesters. I mean, I heard protesters were attacking with dogs. They were eating the security was using dogs to attack protesters. You had all these different things. And when you look at the actual video and you just take 5 seconds to look at it, you're like, wait a second. These protesters jumped the fence onto private property. They infringed on rights right there. They put themselves in danger by jumping in and attacking actual construction workers. They attack private property, they attack the actual guards on duty, the private security, and they even attack the dogs. And then of course you see these all over social media, you see these memes of dogs with bloody mouths, and they're like, well, look, they were biting people. Well, you know, most likely the dog's bleeding out of the mouth because it got hit with a tent pole or something. You know, they had that stuff out there. But I had several arguments on social media with, you know, people that actually say they're conservative. And they were like, we can't stand for this. This is an infringement on the Native Americans and all this. And that's not even the right narrative. This story has gotten so out of control. It's about artifacts. But you've got to kind of bring them back. I have to poke them back. And I say, look, here's the police report. You have to go back to the facts. And what they're going off is an emotional basis. And I think most social media is all emotional. And as everybody knows, the progressives control the emotional argument. I mean, that is the basis of their whole platform, is about how you feel. And I know that there's a lot of conservative pundits out there that try to counter this with their own emotional arguments. I'm not sure if that's the right approach or not. It may be. But as you're saying, you've got to get out there into the social media. You have to actually get onto things like YouTube, and you have to drive back that the emotional argument with the actual factual argument. And I think that's hard to do because celebrities nowadays, and you saw this with the Josh Whedon celebrity video that went out that was kind of a pro-Hillary, even though they say it's just to get out there and register to vote. Oh, that's bullshit. We all know that from the beginning. It's actually get out there and vote for Hillary.
It was funny at first. When I was watching that video, I was like, okay, this is funny. And then at the very end, I was like, oh, God.
Yeah, there they go. They throw it out there. You know, they had to throw about, you know exactly what they're talking about. They're talking about tan guy who's going to push a nuclear button or some nonsense. He's racist. They can't help themselves. I mean, they could have gotten away with it if they just spun it the right way, but they're so obvious. But
what's the name of that video again? I want to put it up right now. I want to watch it real quick.
Oh, man. I would just look up, I think it was We the Voter. I can't remember.
Let
me see.
We the Voting. You said We the Voting?
Or We to the Vote. I can't remember. Hold on. Let me see here.
Ah. Ridiculous.
Josh Whedon, here it is. Avengers take shot. Lots of famous. It doesn't even say.
It doesn't? Well, it's all right. I'll find some other time. But, dude, listen. I got to
thank... Sorry, Save the Day. Sorry.
It's called Save the Day?
Save the Day, yeah.
Hold on a second. Let me find this. Save the Day. Save the Day vote.
Yep.
Okay. Watch this.
On Tuesday, November 8th, this country will make one of the most important... The most important decisions in its history.
You have a chance.
You have an obligation.
To be a part of that decision.
You might think it's not important. You might think you're not important.
But that's not true. And the only way we can prove that to you is by having lots of famous people.
Lots of famous people.
Lots and lots of famous people.
Just a shit ton of famous people.
Repeating how important...
Important.
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 Important. Important.
How...
That was Hopper,
important
dude.
It is. Register.
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 Hopper was in there.
So many famous people.
Some of us aren't as famous, but still pretty famous.
Like, you've seen us somewhere.
No, I haven't seen
Sometimes
you.
Sometimes that not famous person.
Is that that's the woman that killed Selena? Isn't that the woman that killed Selena?
Probably.
I killed my friend.
They mix in with the famous ones.
They drive the message home.
Because of their unpolished sincerity.
They're...
Just so bad.
Unpolished sincerity.
But you won't. It goes on and on, but then at the end, they talk about boom, boom, boom. And I couldn't. I was like, damn it. They really had a shot of being funny. And, but that was.
I feel bad for some of them, too, don't you? I feel bad for Robert Downey Jr., who just looks like he's. I have no idea what his political leanings are. He's probably left just like all of them.
I think some of them might not have known what, you know, they might have just said, here, come in and do this or whatever. We're going to film you, just do this. Like, I don't
They have to tell them what they have to see the dude, yeah. Listen, it is definitely weird because I thought that Robert Downey Jr. had a little bit more of a libertarian type of view of the world. But then again, you know what? This goes beyond all that. You think about all the people that are in the Never Trump, the Never Hillary camp. There's people making all types of concessions right now. So I can't even hold it against anybody. I know how bad the choices are, but I don't understand how, like I said, anybody could make the who could actually come out. I would say abstain from the vote and abstain from any kind of political bullshit if you're unsure of what you want to do. And if you cannot look at things fairly and say, despite what you may find unsavory about Donald Trump, you can't come out and say, vote for Hillary. Just abstain and shut your mouth.
Amen.
I don't know. But listen, Bo, thank you so much for this. It was awesome to have you on for the first time. This is a great time hanging out with you, and I can't wait for more.
Yeah, I can't wait. Thanks again for inviting me, and I look forward to the next time we can do this.
Sure, and we can find, is it just on Tumblr, Red Blooded America? You have a URL forwarding to it? Anything you want to drop with people, how they can find you?
They can pretty much find me if they Google Red Blooded America, or you can find me on Twitter at Red Blooded Guy. I'll be, like we said earlier, I'll be actually tweeting on top of the actual debates this Monday, so look forward to it.
Sounds good, man. Thank you so much for the time.
You too.
Take care. And there you go.
He's good.
He's great.
Where's he from? Texas?
He's from the South. He's a Southern man.
Yeah.
He's a Southern patriot. And
fine Southern gentleman.
A Florida panhandle. A little bit more like molasses.
Well, what about the ritual? Was the ritual gentlemanly?
Oh, my gosh. My gosh. Well, listen, it's 10 to 8. Let's do some fun stuff. I have some funny stuff here. I'll save the other stuff for next in the week. I have who's behind the riots. Charlotte police say that 70% of the arrested protesters had out-of-state IDs. So that's from Zero Hedge.
It's a felony offense.
There's a lot of things here we got to look at. We'll wait for next week or something. Email shows federal immigration. We did that. Carlos the Jackal's letter to Obama. We'll get around to that next week. Obama kept military out of the loop on the cash payments to Iran. Okay, we'll get around that to next week, too.
Bitch.
He did it again. He did it again. You know what? Let's look at Masahiro Tanaka pitching.
Oh, yes, I drew it.
So now, just for you guys, because we want to show you guys something fun, a little bit of what defines us, Tanaka. Pitch is. Let's see here. Okay, hold on a second. No, I need to see Tanaka strikeout. No, wind up. Okay. Here we go.
Well, are you going to tell them the theory behind it?
Yes, we got to show them the theory. Okay, so now, the theory over here at the studio between Matt and I is that Masahiro Tanaka, who pitches for the New York Yankees, he's from Japan. He is worth every penny. He's fantastic. I love him.
Yeah.
But we have this theory that when he goes out there, every time he pitches, he's pitching because he does not want to go back to Japan. And what was the rest of it?
Because of the nuclear waste from Fukushima.
Yeah, he's very, very afraid of Fukushima and how, you know, how wasted it is out there and how radiation riddled it is. So we had this theory that whenever he pitches with all the intensity in the world because he's fighting to stay in this country. Okay, so I want to get a I want you to see his full wind up. Okay, here we go. Now this is what we say happens: that whenever he pitches, you can't hear it on the microphone, but whenever he pitches and he delivers a ball, he says, "I will not go back," every pitch. So if he throws 112 pitches in one outing, he says, "I will not go back," 112 times. So here's some footage of him pitching. You'll see what we mean.
But that was a strike anyway.
Okay, hold on a second.
And the 1-2.
Wait, hold on. That's the 1-2.
But that was a strike anyway.
I will not go back.
Swing and a miss. So a nice bounce back after the startling home run.
Hold on. Let's do one more. Hold on. Let's just do one more. Oh, no. He's pitching from the stretch.
Swing and a miss. Big strikeout. Not go back.
How would you say it when he does it like that time?
Not go back.
And the pitch.
Hold on. We got to get him from the windup. Hold on. Hold on. Come on, hold on. He's still going for the stretch.
And he's Tanaka. Pretty good at.
Hold on. Oh, that's it.
Before he was a pitcher.
Okay, here we go. Here's another one from the windup. I will not go back.
Swing and a miss.
He struck him out.
And that's it. That's the intensity. The intensity with which he pitches.
Part of it is that he doesn't want to be exposed to the radiation, and the other half is that he thinks like that that Godzilla is now a real possibility. they all do, probably.
Yeah, he wants to be safer here if Godzilla actually does come out of the Sea of Japan. You know, we don't want that to happen. And I want to protect this man with everything that we have. I love him. I absolutely
At least for the next four years.
Yeah. Until
after that, he'll be washed up. He'll be broken down.
No,
we don't need him in New York anymore.
No, we need we honor our soldiers in New York, especially the ones that play in the pinstripes.
I see. I would have been like George Steinbrenner. I would be like, dude, you're not winning. You're gone.
Matt, what's on your shirt? Nikki wants to know.
Macho Man Randy Savage.
Macho Man. Oh, that's what we can do. Let's have a little bit more fun. Let's go watch Macho Man.
The Macho Man.
Totally coked out.
Oh, yeah. The Macho Man took some lines, brother.
Coke with Hulk? Is that the one with Hulk? No, yeah, no, let's just get this one.
I don't know. They're all funny.
Oh, this is the one.
Him and the Ultimate Warrior gave the best.
So when he gets the drip?
Come on in. You're going to be defending against the Dragon,
yeah,
Ricky Steamboat. What's the cup for?
He probably really was on coke.
3, Pontiac, Michigan. Yeah, 90,000 plus people watching right there. And this is Ricky the Dragon Steamboat's cup of coffee in the big time. Yeah, cup of coffee in the big time. Because you'll never get closer than now. I am the Intercontinental Heavyweight Champion. And I will remain the Intercontinental Heavyweight Champion. And George the Animal Steel on the outside will be no factor, yeah.
You say no factor. Obviously, he is a factor, or you wouldn't even brought it up.
Oh, wow. Mr. Sarcasm, yeah. I don't care if you've got 23 wrestlers around the outside, and it doesn't even matter, no, because I am ready, and I will not let this opportunity slip through my fingers. Cup of coffee, man, yeah. Man. Wow, man.
That one's a good one, too, with Hulk Hogan right there.
Oh, hold on. We'll watch it. It's 57 seconds
the
long.
Mega Powers, bro. This was... This
gentlemen,
is
we got a taste of it a little
Macho
earlier
Man.
On here on Saturday night's main
Roddy
event.
Piper.
When the madness met the mania.
This one was awesome.
I am talking about Macho Madness and Hulk Hogan.
And they're both on coke right here?
Two Mega Powers.
They definitely
did. Hulk
I know
Hogan,
WCW at least
well,
Hogan
you know me,
is
we really don't know what we're dealing with here, man. And I'm just kind
you
of a little worried about walking up here because we just might blow the whole planet up, you know. Everybody knows that Hulkamania is the strongest force in this universe. But when I hit that ring and I saw the madness was all about, I realized there was a whole other universe out there.
That is the face of America.
Dude, in the 80s it was, bro.
That's the face of America. That is... America.
After this, you
I
just...
want to take a screenshot and turn this into all. I want to turn this into all of the default pictures I have. That's just it.
After this, just put some Hulk Hogan leg drops. That's America.
The power of the madness and the mania just blew my 24
Macho Man, I don't think did steroids.
You mean to tell me there is
you
another solar system, Macho Man?
Unbelievable. I'm still in a state of shock right now. In fact, I don't think the moon is coming down for a long period of time. Yeah, reckless abandon is what it used to be. Yeah, but Elizabeth opened up my eyes and the big man right here, the big man, yeah, he endorsed Macho Madness and he gave me direction. Yeah. Reckless abandon used to be, but direction now with the mega, yeah, the mega, yeah, the mega powers, yeah. Mega powers, yeah. I feel the power now. I feel the power right there. Man,
you're
not yeah.
looking to hit over the head, Macho Man.
Oh, no, man. I'm all right. I've never been better, yeah. Don't you worry about the hit over the head, man. I'm just worried about where we're going from here.
I don't know how he's still alive. Roids he took.
There he is. There's the face of America. Here, let's keep pausing this until we find... See?
The ionosphere with the madness and the man. Yeah. As one guiding force, we could go ahead and take.
Look at Gene Okerlin.
Well, you know, life is just so fun. Life is full of treats, and you know, what can we say? America is where we experimented with how to be just completely free. And that's what we did. You're talking about that's not free? That is a person who's completely comfortable in themselves.
Toy and the Macho Man. Roddy Piper fucking, dude, Roddy Piper was the man too. There's one, a clip of him. He breaks a bottle over. It's a real glass bottle.
I was just watching the episode.
And just starts to bleed and still keeps talking in the fucking interview.
You watched the episode of Always Sunny with Roddy Piper in it?
I might have. I don't remember if I did, but maybe. Probably. Yeah, I'm not sure.
That's a good one. Here's something I want to bring up. Stephen Hawking says he wants to find aliens before they find us. I don't know.
We need to hurry.
I don't know that, why that's so.
Because if they find us first, they'll probably kill us.
He says Stephen Hawking is again warning about announcing
out. This is CNET and here.
Hold on. Stephen Hawking is again warning about announcing our presence to any alien civilizations that might be out there, especially those who could be more technologically advanced. But we're finding them before they're finding us. In his new half-hour program, Stephen Hawking's favorite places on science-themed subscription service CuriosityStream, the world's most famous theoretical physicist flies by potentially habitable exoplanet Gliese 832C in a CGI spaceship as part of his hypothetical dream itinerary for our tour of the universe. If the intelligent life has evolved on Gliese. Jackie Gleason 832C. We should be able to hear it, he says, while hovering over the exoplanet in the animated USS Hawking. One day we might receive a signal from a planet like this, but we should be very wary of answering back, meaning an advanced civilization could be like a Native Americans countering Columbus. That didn't turn out so well.
Didn't we just receive some sort of transmission recently?
I don't know.
I'm pretty sure we did. Like, maybe... When's this article from?
This is recently. This is a couple days ago. This is September 22nd, yesterday. Just the Babysitter says, why would aliens care about us and our need for safe spaces? Perry, if somebody was an outside observer from another planet and saw how we are living right now and how the next generation is coming up, they would know more than ever that we are the most easily to be taken over. I don't know. So that's one other thing. I'd love to get Dr. Stephen Greer on the air with me. That I have to write that down. You know what I have to say? Dana Lewis, that's her name. She's a publicist that I work, one of many publicists I work along with. But she has been amazing. And I want to give her a shout out. She got us all of the interviews with David Borowitz and all the doctors that we've had, the addiction therapists we had on, everybody that we've had great interviews with over the last couple of weeks and the past month. And I talk to her a lot now because she really loves the show. And everybody that comes on the show, and you know we've had some pretty high-profile people, people who have done some amazing work, they've been on the show. And they all come away saying how much of a great time they had, how much they enjoyed their experience, the conversation. Experiences.
You're a good host, bro.
I take pride in the ability to talk to people and get these things and get these conversations going.
You're a good talker.
I do believe in what we do here. And a lot of the conversations we craft is just because I know now people are so interactive with the show that they show me the types of things that they want to learn about. So that's why I say this show is yours. Please get involved more often. You know, the whole network is yours. We need writers. We need thinkers, talkers. I'm going to talk to Boat after the show, obviously, but I think he should have his own podcast, by all means. Now, actually, Red Blooded America turned me on to the Brian McClanahan podcast. And just the way that he handled himself for the last 20 minutes he was on with us, it reminded me a lot about, like, Brian McClanahan. And I think that if we just got people that are all working together, people who already have reaches, they've got good heads on their shoulders, they do their research, and they put together really good arguments and really good points of view, we need to band together. You know, we definitely need to grow our audiences together. There's absolutely no thought in my mind. If we want to affect any kind of change, we got to affect the way that we're thinking on the ground. Because as you can see, right now, the ground movements are affecting what is going on in the country and countries around the world as well. Look at Brexit. Look at what's going on in Europe. You know, the average European male, his voice has been stifled and they have been stymied in very many ways.
Yes.
But we know that they're out there. We know that we have movements of people out there that are railing back against this censorship, the political correctness, the globalist schemes that are going on that are erasing all of our identities as nations, as communities, as cultures. It doesn't matter. We need to band together. So whatever the hell it is, if you want to start writing, get in touch with us. Frank@zenlive.tv. Send me an email. If you want to put together a podcast, we'd love to feature it on this website. You know, let's band together. Let's get all of our audiences together, and let's just keep sharing shit. I think that we're doing good things here. But in either case, Dana, I was talking to her. She's got some ideas of getting some really high-profile people on here. And I would love to keep working with people like her to get guys like Dr. Stephen Greer. Now, I don't have the money to pay Dana. So, obviously, I want it to be of service to anybody who wants to put their clients onto a platform that wants to have some good conversation. But I would love to have somebody working for me like Dana that goes out and knows how to get people for a 25-minute interview. I'd love to talk to people like Dr. Drew Pinsky whenever he, you know, after incidents like we had this past month when he lost his show of some type, when he was openly and without regret questioning Hillary Clinton's medical condition. Like, very, very brave people out there that I think would do very well in audiences like this. Now, I know that we're not probably, you know, at first glance, we're not big enough for somebody like Drew Pinsky, but if we had somebody out there lobbying for us, we got to start somewhere. I know we can handle it. I know we can, and it's coming. So just stick with us, guys. It's going to happen. So big shout-out to Dana. Here's another thing that we have to get around to, because we are always on top of what's happening in the world of having sex with robots. Out of this world sex.
Hi, I'm Matt McMullen, and I'm the creator and founder of Real Doll. Since 1997,
I've been
making the world's finest love doll. I'm moving into the future.
Oh, God. Out of this world sex, erotic robots, real as humans, to have a pulse. Forget about headaches and heartbreak. Flirty cyborgs with a pulse are set to get horny Brits hot under the collar, Daily Star Online can exclusively reveal. Now, we're talking about this before, how it always keeps coming out. More articles about people having sex with robots, how it's the way of the future, how I already said people are going to be running to this more and more if the political correctness continues. Because, you know, you're worried about people having sex with people and then regretting it in the morning and calling it rape. You're worried about what college campuses want people checking in with their partners in bed, whether or not they still want to have sex every 3 minutes. It's like as you're screwing, it's like, you still want to do this? It's ridiculous. It's like, I would want immediate. I can see kids, guys, especially college age, hey, you want to go in on one of these sex dolls? Because I just don't want to touch any of the girls on campus. I can't take the aggravation.
That poor robot.
That's number one. They said they
gang banged.
Yeah, the gang banged robots. But I really do think that if we don't stop the political correctness, it'll get into the arena of regulating how we fuck inanimate objects like robots. Like, oh, the violence that we're seeing coming out of people who are screwing these robots that take on female forms. I'm telling you, there's going to be robot abuse laws. There's going to be indecency laws.
Domestic
for robots.
Abuse laws.
Oh, totally. Totally. Luxury sex doll company, Real Doll CEO Matt McMullen, has lifted the lid on the future of our kinky sex partners, and it's better than you could have imagined.
You should try and get him to call in so you can talk to him about the sex doll.
Yeah, I'd like to.
See, like, you know, exactly, like...
I say, now, hey, Matt, did you personally test out all these dolls? I was like, yes. I fuck at least 5 dolls a day. And let me tell you something, Frank. Each one is better than the last. The erotic cyborgs, which have interchangeable body parts, will chat, they'll have an accent, They will move and they'll smile. But what's really going to get blokes' pulses racing is the bedroom toys will breathe, they'll talk dirty, they have a temperature and a personality, all thanks to artificial intelligence.
Do they have periods too? Jesus.
You want to see the death of the American family? You want to see the death of the family around the world? It's one thing when kids have the unfortunate experience of, you know, rummaging through one of their parents' closets and finding a dildo. It's another thing when a kid runs into their father's walk-in closet in the basement and finds Michelle the cyborg standing there looking at him with dead eyes because she hasn't been turned on yet. That is going to be fucked up.
That's going to be a lot of old men are probably going to buy that, bro.
Oh,
that's
my.
That's fucking weird, man.
Very weird. There's an app called Saving Harambe. Oh, and Harambe's dodging bullets? This is going too far. See what's going on in the chat room. I fuck $5 a day. Thanks, England. Now I'll never get laid again. Jenny, let me tell you something. I know all the types of people that hang out with this show. We're not going to have problems finding people to get laid with. Well, if you're in a relationship, you don't have a problem anyway. But Jenny, guys want to have sex. If you are a level-headed woman who wants to get laid and knows what she's getting into, some guys are going to suck. Some guys are going to be all right. Some guys are going to be fantastic. Other guys, you're going to know if you know how to scan a room well. I want to avoid that prick. I'm going to avoid that prick too. And, you know, same thing goes for guys and looking for girls that are worth the time. You have pillow queens and then you have, you know, acrobats. It's just, that's what happens out there. And that's the beauty and the horrors of dating and being single, to be honest. But like most things, you take on those risks when you go into the arena. So, of course, as we sit back in the stands of the Coliseum over here, and we're looking down at the sands of the Coliseum, and we're watching everybody getting torn apart by ridiculousness and sex technology, we know that, okay, well, when the movie ends and we go back to real life, we know how to pick them. So, some people are going to have problems, but they're just going to have to learn the hard way. Shout out to Tara Patrick and the Fleshlight, Gadget Doc says. Tara Patrick actually follows Gadget Doc on Twitter.
Yeah?
Yeah, and she like, you know.
I think she's retired, but she probably still is hot, man.
Yeah, but like Gadget Doc said, the Fleshlight is her creation.
Is it really?
Yeah, so she's jacking off people all over the country.
Dude, she's a fucking millionaire.
Has to be. I'd love to have her on this show.
Well, she was smart. She was actually like in a medical school or some shit when she became a porn star.
We should have her on a Friday night show. Gadget Doc, you should
get her to come in, bro. That'd be even better.
Yeah. Gadget Doc should help set that up for a Friday night.
Yeah.
See, guys, let me point something out to you right now. It's 8:13. We've been talking for an hour and 15 minutes straight without a commercial break. Do you understand that if you are listening to talk radio on terrestrial radio or satellite or anywhere else, an hour and 15 to an hour and a half minutes worth of talk is a three-hour radio show. It's a three-hour radio show. So, get some pretty good stuff here. And every once in a while, we do some overtime. We deserve it. So there you go, sex robots. I'm going to put that in the sex robots folder because we are tracking this. Stephen Hawking, we did that. Oh, let's do this before we get off. Before we get off. A couple days ago, we talked about how one of the world's most prestigious exorcists had died at the age of 91. Okay? Father Amorth. 91 years old, he performed over 70,000 exorcisms.
Say we.
And now, this is from September 22nd, yesterday, from SBS.com. Okay? It's very real. people do get demonized inside suburban exorcisms present day in Australia. Okay, so here we go. Masturbation, tarot cards, and Harry Potter. According to some, they open the door for Satan. Uh-oh. Fucking masturbation. Meet the people performing exorcisms to get the demons out. Hold on, they got a video here. Let's just go there real quick. Well, this is 22 minutes long. Let's just watch as much as we need to get a view here.
Your core body temperature rises.
It's people screaming and shit.
High, like really hot, all of a sudden, intense heat. Your body starts to convulse. Something comes from your stomach. It's like water comes up and out in a big voice.
They say it's a supernatural battle between God and the devil, all taking place within the body of a human.
Take the shackle off her neck. Yes!
Satan and his army of fallen angels, or demons, are on the warpath. Or so exorcists would have us believe.
Millions of demons. There's demons called lust, there's demons called murder, there's demons of witchcraft. Come out in Jesus' name. Come out of her in Jesus' name.
The spirit of masturbation, out in the name of Jesus.
It's very real.
Oh, that guy's masturbating a lot.
And sometimes fully possessed.
It's a lust. Out! Out! Out!
Don't touch a dick.
Pornography, lust, but also meditation and Harry Potter are opening doors to the demonic,
meditation?
Making us vulnerable to possession.
Exorcism is usually very strongly moralistic, occasionally violent.
Oh, shit.
It's a way of enforcing.
I wonder what she's watching.
Dogma.
The knowledge you see her?
Of the future is
Let's go back to her for a second.
That only God can.
I wonder what she's been doing.
Pornography, lust, but also meditation and Harry
Probably
Potter are opening doors to the demonic,
yeah,
making
so,
us
right?
vulnerable to possession.
Exorcism is usually very strongly moralistic, occasionally violent.
There she is. Well, I mean, she looks like she's got some problems, obviously. But I don't know. I don't know. What do you think? What do you think, Matt?
I think people get possessed.
Do?
Yeah, not by like you're not possessed because you're masturbating, but like by, you know, like fucking maybe demons and shit like that.
Anybody in the chat room ever become possessed by a masturbation demon?
No, not.
We'll stay on for 13 more minutes. We'll just do it an even hour and a half. We'll go to 8:30. It's 8:17 right now. Call in if you've ever been possessed. Gadget Doctor's.
If you're possessed right now.
Gadget Doctor's tarot card, so he's probably screwed. Let me see here. There's something else he said here. I don't know. We were reading that other article the other day. That was talking about how many of the worst political figures in history were demonically possessed.
Like Hitler?
Hitler, Stalin, Mao, although it did not take away their personal responsibility in the acts that they perpetrated. But I don't know, man. We definitely got some demons in our ranks.
Barack Obama.
Oh, all right, guys. You know what? I think we're not going to stay on until 8:30. It's better to get off when you're high. So we're going to be doing that. We're getting off. Guys, thank you so much for hanging out tonight. It was a great, great time we had on. It was a great call with Red Blooded America. When we come back on Monday, tell your friends, tell your enemies, hide your kids, hide your wife. We got the 7 o'clock show, and then the 8 o'clock starts the debate. All right? So we'll stop recording at 8 o'clock, and then we're just going to leave the microphones on, and we are going to watch this shit together, okay? So don't come, you know, you'll come here for the commentary if you want and all that stuff, but it's not going to be we're not going to be talking constantly. Sometimes there might be just long periods of silence, and we're just watching what's going on. So the regular broadcasting, as usual, Monday night, 7 o'clock, and then 8 o'clock, we're just going to kick back. Crack open a couple of cold ones, maybe. I don't know. This is gonna be amazing. I'm so excited.
Indeed.
So excited. All right, guys. Have a fantastic evening. Matt, thank you so much.
Yeah.
Any closing words?
You gotta thank your bosses, all of them.
Yes. Oh. Where the hell's my thing? Hold on a second. Gotta thank the bosses. Shit. What the hell's my email? Hold on a second. I'm trying to get into Patreon because I forgot my sheet, my call-out sheet. Let me see if that works. Of course it doesn't work. Damn it. What's so funny? I'm running around right now. I'm frantic. I gotta thank everybody. I don't want to start going from memory and then forgetting one or two people, because the list is getting longer. Everybody, please go to patreon.com/. Quite frankly, $1, $5, whatever the hell it is. We're creating a lot of content here. We'd love your support. Hold on. I think I can get it on the app. Messages. Damn it. Everybody's probably just already turned off. They don't care about the... They don't care about anything anymore. Thank you to Stephanie Freeland. Stephanie K. Beauty.com. Matt DeFabio. Matt, thank you so much, dude.
Boss now, bro.
Matt just pledged 1984.
I'm the majority boss now, bro.
He just trumped everybody, especially the 1776 crew. Thank you so much to Jenny Lee, Jackie Milam, Max Ancaparato, Mad Mints, Sean Collins, Michael Wells. Who else? Nikki Solis. Who else? Oh, God, show more.
Sean Connery.
There might be more here. Oh, Christian Pepis, who's actually going to be here tonight in a little bit. Matt Smith, our good buddy Matt. Laura Varis. Who else is in the chat room? I think that might be it. If I have forgotten anybody, I will love you down twice as hard on Monday because I forgot. I totally forgot. And thank you so much for joining and all that stuff. And you guys, fantastic. Love you all. Be well. Have a fantastic evening and great weekend. See you all Monday. I can't goddamn wait.